Hello, Vicky Glanacorda. You're welcome along to tonight's edition of The Late Session. Tonight on the programme, we pay tribute to Bobby Casey, wonderful fiddle player and a great character who died last month. We also have some new CDs to play for you. Fonagy Ling. The first of our new CDs tonight comes from the Tyne Cayley Band. Cayley Band, which has won the All-Ireland Senior Cayley Band competition at Flakeol na hÉireann for the past 2 years, and they've just released their debut CD, and from that we're going to start off with three reels tonight: Molly Bawn, Aoife Cashel and Billy Brockers. Tyne Cayley Band, based around the Dundalk area, and three reels you heard there from their new CD, Molly Bawn, Aoife Cashel and Billy Brockers. Now, as I mentioned, they've won the All-Ireland Senior Cayley Band competition for the past 2 years, and I was speaking to Pádraig Donlan last week. He's the piper with the Tyne Cayley Band, and he assured me that they will be back in Enniscorthy this year to defend their All-Ireland title. Very nice music indeed there from the Tyne Cayley Band. Staying on the subject of Cayley Bands, and Conor McCarthy from Ennis is the accordion player with the Kilfenora Cayley Band, and in recent weeks he has released a solo album entitled Selection Box, on which he's accompanied on guitar by Alf Duggan, and we're going to hear a couple of jigs from that on the programme tonight. The first one is one of Sean Ryan's compositions called The Nightingale, and Conor himself composed the second one entitled The First Trout. ¶¶ Two jigs there from Conor McCarthy on accordion. The Nightingale, the title of the first one. The second one, Conor's own composition there, The First Trout. Now, for our first song on tonight's edition of the programme, we go to the band Providence and the County Wexford singer Joan McDermott, who, when she came to Dublin first, was very influenced by the singing of the late Liam Weldon. And it was from Liam Weldon that she learned the song that we're going to hear tonight from the Providence album. This is Achon, Achon Machalin. Joan McDermott there with the band Providence, Ahone Ahone McCallin, the title of that song. Now, on tonight's programme, we're going to be paying tribute to the late Bobby Casey, the wonderful fiddle player who sadly died in England last month. And I'll be joined in studio by John Kelly very shortly, John the fiddle player, and we'll be talking about Bobby. But first of all, we're going to listen to some music. And for our first selection of music from Bobby Casey tonight, we're going back to August 1959 and one of Bobby's many visits home to his home county of County Clare and to West Clare. And on this particular instant, he visited Crehan's house, and Ida Crehan at the time was, I suppose, one of few people in the area who would have had recording equipment, and apparently she had a Grundig reel-to-reel recorder on which she made these recordings back in that during that session in August 1959. We'll hear a selection of jigs here from Bobby: The Shores of Loch Ray, Biddy from Sligo, The Pipe on the Hob, Scully Casey's jig, Banks of Loch Gowna, and Brian O'Lynn. Thank you. Isn't that absolutely wonderful music? Six jigs in all there, recorded in August 1959 by Ita Cree and the music of Bobby Casey. And John Kelly joins me in studio now to pay tribute to Bobby. You're welcome to the programme, John.
Thanks very much, Molly.
Bobby was, I suppose, a contemporary of your father, so you must have been very young when you met him first. What would be your earliest memories of him?
Well, I've very early recollections of Bobby goes back, I suppose, to the early 50s. Our shop, we had a shop in Cagle Street, and it was for any musician of note passing through town, they would always call into the house and call to the shop, and we'd meet all these people. But Bobby was one of these people we met, and he was a very colourful character. Always, we were very young kids at the time, and he'd always play with us, and he had always stories to tell us, and he was somebody you'd really love to see coming. So he was, you know, so as far back as I can remember, Bobby was part of our lives, you know.
And would you have memories of him playing music then from the earliest days?
Well, of course, the usual procedure was they'd adjourn next door to the Four Seasons pub, and my father go missing for several hours, and my mother wouldn't be too pleased with this, but we'd be in and out maybe looking for something or other, and we wouldn't have spent an awful long time, you know, deeply engrossed in the music at that stage. But he was somebody who was always there, always part of my life anyway, and always coming and going, you know.
What was so special? How would you describe what was so special about his music, about his fiddle playing?
Well, there was a lovely richness and a lovely honesty in his playing. And his whole personality really comes out in it. You could see the lovely, gentle, flowing music he played. And it's something that people forget about traditional music in this day and age. There was so much in it, but you have to listen to what he was doing. He had lovely triplets and lovely rolls, and just his whole approach to the music. And there was a beautiful bounce to his music, a natural rhythm in the music. People nowadays think you have to play fast music to get this rhythm for, but Bobby had that. And Bobby played a lot for dancing and for set dancing over the years and in his younger days in Clare. So he had that natural rhythm, but it was just honesty and the purity of his music. And it really shone through. And for me, you know, he, as a personality, of course, I mean, you couldn't hope to meet a nicer man. He was, he was a really lovely man, and, you know, a joy to be with. I never heard him complain about anything. He just took life so casually, and I think he got on with it, and that was it, you know.
Where would his music have come from? I mean, would his style have been a very typical West Clare style?
I think so, yeah. I think so. Well, of course, he learned his music from his father, Scully Casey. And Scully was a noted fiddle player, and I, you know, as my father again, and all the people from West Clare would be, they always mention Scully Casey. And some people said that he was almost as good as Scully Casey. So Scully Casey must have been an exceptional player. Of course, then Junior Cream was another man that only died last year, God rest him. He was another man that Bobby would have learned a lot of music from. But you must remember in those days, nearly every second house there was somebody playing music in, you know. And they had all local style. You know, there was a difference between a style from, say, Bobby's place and it's maybe 5 miles down the road, because people didn't travel and there was no interaction between the music, there was no tape recorders or anything, so what they had was their own, you know. So
he would have had that then, and very much taken that with him when he went to England.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, he spent a short time in Dublin in the 50s, and he became very friendly with my father. Of course, my father became very friendly with him. And he went off to London, and just at that particular time in London, there was a wealth of really fine musicians there. Willie Clancy was there, and Joe Ryan, and Tommy McCarty, Roger Sherlock, Brendan McGlinchey. You know, the list is endless. And all these people happened to be in London at the same time. So you can imagine it was just non-stop music. I don't know about the work end of it, but it was non-stop music.
We'll come back actually and talk a little bit more about London in a minute. But I want to take another piece of music. And this is a recording that you've brought to us, made, I think, in the early 1970s.
That's right, yeah. It's a recording made by Seamus McMahona, and there's some really lovely, lovely, lovely fiddle playing on it.
Great, we listen to it. So it's a couple of reels, The Reel of Mull in a Vat and Tie the Ribbon. And once again, this is Bobby Casey.
Thank you.
the reel of Mullen of Bath there and Tie the Ribbon from Bobby Casey. And our thanks to Mick O'Connor indeed for that recording, which was made by Seamus MacMahon back in the early 1970s. He took part in competitions for a while, I think, John, didn't he?
Yeah, he took part in competitions. He won the senior fiddle competition in 1952 and again in 1968. So it was never something he particularly set out to do, but at the time, I think it was part of the culture where people entered competitions and whatever. I think maybe there was a few bob involved, so he took part. But it was never anything serious with him at all. It was something he just took on board, and he'd laugh at it. If he won, well and good. If he didn't, it didn't make any difference, you know.
And I think, interestingly enough as well, what a lot of people mightn't realise is he actually played with the Tullochaley Band for a short time.
He played with the Tullochaley Band, and latterly then with the Tatchcaley Band in London, of course. They won in All-Ireland as well in the early 80s.
So just to come back to London then, and talking about the Thatch, and you mentioned all the musicians who were in London at the time, and the sort of richness, the wealth of music that there was in London. He would have had a big influence on a lot of the musicians, and a lot of younger musicians, I suppose, learning music in London. People like the Young McCarthys and that,
yeah.
I suppose.
Well, he was always available, and as I said earlier, with the amount of musicians who were in London at that particular time, they were meeting in pubs, and they were meeting in houses, and there were different cultist get-togethers, and the younger generation, the McCarthys now, they were younger at the time, who were living in Clare, they would have come in contact with Bobby on a regular basis. And of course, his good humour, and I mean, he was somebody you wouldn't forget. I mean, if you met Bobby once, there are lots of people, you know yourself, in life that you'd meet, and you'd have to be reminded when you meet him again. But if you met Bobby once, that was it. And if you were interested in traditional music at all, you'd recognise his fiddle playing, because he had a unique style. Once he started, you'd know it was Bobby. He had a beautiful lilting style, and you know, he was somebody that, no matter where you'd be, I think Brendan Mulcair said it, he said a few words about Bobby at the day of the funeral, and he said that if you travelled anywhere in the world and somebody played a recording, you heard a recording behind the door or something, you'd know it was Bobby. That's the kind of an effect he had on people, you know.
Now, he did, of course, come home regularly, and we heard that recording earlier on from an early visit home in 1959. But he did come, and in recent years, I think his most high profile visits home would have been for the Willie Clancy Summer School. And you yourself were involved in the fiddle classes there, and he was very much an integral part of that, I think.
Absolutely. Well, he was there from his inception with my father, and this year actually 2000 will be the 28th. Willie Clancy week, and he was involved. He normally taught together with my father. They were a double act. They'd get together, and one would my father, I think, was the stern one, the good cop and the bad cop routine, you know. But Bobby would have a fag and whatever in the corner and demonstrate for people, and they always took advanced classes.
Mm-hmm.
And well, for people, you know, for continentals and that, to see that, you know, to see exactly what was involved, because some of the people come across and they'd expect to pick up the music in a very short time. So, I mean, Bobby was brilliant for Demi. He'd play away. There was never any problems about nerves or anything. You'd just sit him down and ask him to play, and he'd play away just to his heart's content. And he wasn't a complicated man, but you know, there was a lot going on there, you know, and people really had to pay attention to what he was doing, you know.
Is it very difficult to describe, when you say there was a lot going on there, is it very difficult to describe or to put into words what he had, what his style was, or what was so special about it?
It's not something, he was a musician's musician.
Mm.
And he was somebody you'd have to listen to. His triplets were amazing. You know, his use of the bow hand, and to be quite honest with you, the way he'd hold the fiddle and that wasn't always, it wouldn't be accepted by the Royal Irish Academy as being correct, but the end result was correct, and everything he did, his triplets and his rolling and that, he could put three or four rolls in a very short part of the bow, and that's almost impossible to do, you know. So he'd a beautiful approach to music, and I think it was a style that he picked up in the area, and he just had. You know?
Are there many people who try to emulate him, try to play in his style or with his particular technique?
Not really. I suppose people, you know, some of the people in London he would have influenced. I think maybe John Carty, I think I remember a couple of years ago at the Willie Clancy Week, there was a tribute to Bobby, and I think John got up and played a few tunes in a similar kind of style. Mm-hmm. But people would have been aware, maybe, I think, I might be corrected in this, Kevin Burke, I think maybe, you know, Bobby M. Shirley was one of his earliest influences. Again, that's the London connection again, the same with John Carty. So mainly through the London connection, people would have been influenced by Bobby. But he was always there, as I said earlier, and always available. And he'd play away, and, you know, there was never any song and dance about Bobby. If you asked him to play, if there was a fiddle available, he'd play, and that was it.
Well, of course, the Willie Clancy Summer School is coming up now again in a couple of weeks, and he's going to be hugely, hugely missed, I think, this year. Everybody's going to be very lonely at the fact that he's not going to be there.
Absolutely. He was a great practical joker. We miss him for just, I mean, he had everything. I mean, he was a fine, very, very fine musician, and as a personality, and as a human being, he was a lovely man, and he was always up to some sort of divilment, and you never knew what he was going to do. You know, there's endless yarns about him. Some of them are probably libelous, so I won't repeat them here, but he was liable to do anything, you know, and if we were in a kind of a sticky situation, not music or maybe people down or people not in good form or something, Bobby was sure to cheer everybody up, so he will be missed.
When did you see him last time?
I met him on Patrick's weekend. I was away. He was over for Easter weekend as well, and he was teaching up in Lewisburg, but he wasn't too well that weekend. But I met him Patrick's weekend. He was in Kilfenora. He was playing. He had a gig organised in Kilfenora, in Vaughan's in Kilfenora, and it's funny actually in a way. We went up. I have a friend, Gabriel Casey, who lives up outside Listowel-Varna, and we went up to visit Gabriel and myself and Bobby in the Ian room. Of course, Ian was Bobby's great friend. And Ian is a Renault 4 car, and I think it's probably seen better years. But when we were coming down through the back of Listowel-Varna, heading to Kilfenora, we got a puncture. The first thing, we couldn't find the jack in the car. It's under the bonnet, apparently, in the Renault 4. And the second thing, we didn't have any light, no lamp, no nothing. So we eventually got the tyre changed with the help of Bobby's lighter. So Bobby was standing beside the wheel with turning his lighter on and off, and that's the only light we had. So that's the last time I met Bobby, unfortunately.
And it's a nice memory to have, I think, agus Marie Aaron should not make you and the head reason.
Thank you.
The Old Bush and My Love is in America, a 1977 recording of Bobby Casey there, which was released on an album by Mulligan Records called Taking Flight in 1979. And my thanks indeed to John Kelly for joining us tonight to pay tribute to the late Bobby Casey. Well, that's about all we've time for on tonight's edition of the programme. Hope you enjoyed the music. We'll be back with you again, of course, at the same time next week. And appropriately enough, we're going to finish off tonight's programme with a selection of music from some young London musicians, the London Lasses, they call themselves, four girls and one man involved in this, and a selection of reels. We'll hear from them to finish us off, starting off with Brendan McGlinchey's composition, Splendid Isolation.
Session presented by Anya Hensey was produced by Peter Brown, and you can find details of the late session on RTE's internet service. The website address is www.rte.ie.
With a National Irish Bank tailored home loan, an increase of just a few pounds in regular repayments could mean you finish paying off your mortgage much earlier than you expect. Much earlier. So, you'll have plenty of time on your hands to do the things you want. To pay off your mortgage years earlier and save thousands in the process, talk to National Irish Bank about a tailored home loan. Just phone 1850 600 600 or call into your local branch and speak to one of our mortgage advisors. Lending terms and conditions apply. Calls may be recorded.
Doris Lessing, Paul Durkin, Evan Boland, Nicola Barker, A.S. Fyatt, Joseph O'Connor. Yes, 50 Irish and international writers will take part in the Dublin Writers' Festival, June 15th to 18th. For details, phone 874 1415. If you're looking for massive reductions on a fabulous range of fabrics, you'll find it at Fabric Finders. That's right, their relocation sale is now on at their Ballymount premises with 20% off existing fabrics and 10% off other accessories, including curtain poles and rails. That's Fabric Finders, Ballymount Road, Walkinstown. Phone 456-8868.
Yeah, can I have an extra strong double espresso?
If you're looking for a bit more stimulation at work, try one of the latest mobile PCs from Fujitsu Siemens Computers, like the Super Slim Lifebook S series, powered by the Intel Pentium 3 processor. It delivers exceptional multimedia performance with superior graphic resolution and perfect stereo sound.
Yeah, that's to go.
And it's all portable. Fujitsu Siemens Computers, making IT work for everyone.
And we go over to Met Air now for the latest weather forecast from Anne Farrell.
Thank you. Tonight will continue mild and humid, with scattered showers in the west of the country and staying mainly dry in the east. Mist and fog are already affecting many areas near the south coast, and with light winds will develop in other places overnight as well. Lowest temperatures will range 12 to 14 degrees. Tomorrow will be a cloudier day than today, with scattered showers, chiefly in western areas, and there is the risk of the odd heavy or thundery shower. There will be some bright and sunny spells, though, with the best of these in the east. Highest temperatures will range 17 to 22 degrees, and winds will be light to moderate southeast to southwest. And looking ahead, it will continue warm and humid on Sunday, with some hazy sunshine in places, but cloudy periods also, with a few showers likely. And now here's the sea area forecast, starting with the meteorological situation, an anticyclone over the North Sea.